Okay, great. We always start off by getting news from Washington. We're in a strange time now. We're just getting ready to have some new announcements of the new crop of grantees. But Glo, anything that you've heard?
Yeah, I talked to Rachel this morning, and she apologized for being in Snoozeville, she said, because she hasn't had anything new to report in several weeks now. But she just said that the reviews for this next round of job training proposals is on schedule. They still are planning for that announcement to be held in May. So everything sounds like it's pretty much on track. So that was all from headquarters. Then from HMTRI, we just got back the Connect news for the March issue from editing. So it is going to be going out this afternoon. I'll put that out on the listserv. And Mike, I don't know, do you want to put it in with the post-session notes maybe?
We could do that.
I could send that to you. This issue is going to be about the importance of and the steps needed to conduct a proper labor market assessment, which is all important for everyone's job training program. And the other announcement then would just be a reminder about the annual all-grantee meeting. That registration process has started. This year it's going to be August 17th and 18th in Alexandria, Virginia. It's open to all funded grantees, past grantees, and PLC members. The deadline for registration is July 26th, I believe, somewhere close to that. There is no fee to attend, and HMTRI pays lodging costs for people from out of town and some working meals. So I encourage you to register early. It's much easier if something happens to cancel a hotel reservation than it is to try to make one after the deadline, because a lot of times the hotel is completely sold out and we have to set up a contract at a nearby location, which is not nearly as convenient as staying in the same hotel where the meeting's going to be held. So that's it for me, Mike.
Great. We'll also put some announcements in upcoming meetings. There are some meetings coming up and through the summer, and any grant opportunities. The one that comes to mind, it's a very small one, but it's the environmental education grant that they award every year. They're very small grants, $5,000, but they're awarded through the regional office. And these are for job fairs, and they're for environmental fairs. If you have a particularly 4th of July and you want to have a booth at some sort of festival going on, those are very doable grants, and it's not real competitive, and they're small, but they're nice little projects, and while it doesn't directly have to do with the job training program, it's synergistic to it, and you can get some of your graduates out there and do some display on what you're doing in the environment. But we'll put those announcements in the newsletter. Another thing we'll do in the newsletter, and I'm going to introduce Ray and his group. I've been really impressed with Detroit and the whole operation of the Detroit Employment Solutions .org. Before I introduce Ray, though, I'm just going to also put in the notes something that Lorena provided us. We talked to Detroit about a year ago in February. They had just gotten their grant. 2014. This is their first grant. And Lorena, the topic of the time was, what can you expect? We had in February, so they were awarded in the summer. I believe they went to the all-grantee meeting, and then they got started. And she wrote a little blurb or talked to us about all the steps you could expect when you're waiting to get your grant and to get it funded and what they had to go through. And I'll put that in the notes with the discussion we have with Ray. And it's very informative of if you're waiting for your grant to be funded or the announcements, what you can expect. But we'll put those in the post-session notes. As I said, I'm really was really impressed. Thus far, we've had grantees who have been in 3-4 cycles, been in this program and recompeted many times. And they're very well experienced. Detroit did an incredible, between Jessica and Lorena, when they got started, they got this grant and they really went to town on it, very enthusiastic. And in fact, I've been impressed about Detroit, the city of Detroit, and what they're doing there ever since. They seem to really be coordinating, and Ray can comment to this, but their governmental organization really seems to be going to town, combining their departments, coordinating between each other. And we're going to, and Ray might talk about this, he's got a presentation that was made about some of the residents in Detroit going through his program. But that also appears on a website, and I'm not sure that it's government or if it's a TV station, but it's click on Detroit, and I'll put those in the notes. And you click on there, and it's got all the things that are going on in Detroit, including some of the things that the job training program is doing. And I think it's just typical of what they're doing. So, Ray, I'm going to introduce you to tell us about your program, and particularly how do you do such a good job coordinating these programs?
Well, thank you, Mike, and good afternoon, everyone. We are excited to be able to present to you on this afternoon. I am with a company with Anita Harrington. Anita is an environmental specialist who stepped up to take on the role that Lorena was doing, considering that she's on maternity. Lorena's doing very well. She had her first child, a boy. His name is Austin, and he's a handsome little guy. And hopefully very soon we'll have Lorena back. But Anita has been doing a marvelous job in just keeping the grant moving. And so we're going to allow Anita in a moment to talk a little bit about the various roles and how important they are in terms of the success of the program. And Mike, I appreciate the compliments that you gave us. A lot of this, what we've learned, come from the various trainings that this group puts on, the Alexandria trip. We've been there twice. We learned a lot from various other communities that have been in the game for a few terms now and learned the ins and outs. And so we took that under advisement, and it has helped us quite a bit in terms of getting a head start on what we should be looking for. So I appreciate all the efforts that I've learned from this close-knit community. As you indicated, I think that this conversation was brought about from the news piece that was a couple of weeks ago. Click on Detroit is Channel 4 Action News. It's our metropolitan, one of our metropolitan news stations. And so you reach, I would believe they reach over maybe 1.5 to 2 million homes within this metropolitan area. And so it was actually the second segment regarding this workforce training grant. The first segment gave a little bit about the program itself in terms of just introducing the program. Again, this is a part of our the mayor's initiative, Mayor Mike Duggan, as it relates to employing City of Detroit residents. Our mayor is very adamant about that. If you're going to do work in the City of Detroit, you need to very seriously consider hiring City of Detroit residents to do the work. And so our job, when we apply for this grant, is to connect trained individuals within the city, trained residents, to the job force. And so we're very excited about that. And so, again, Channel 4 did a segue back in November, I believe, and then the second segue, which was a few weeks ago, basically came back to just talk about some of the people who were, you know, once unemployed or working very low-wage jobs to now working very gratifying jobs. In fact, one of the individuals that we recently employed within the last 4 or 5 months has gone from minimum wage before they started the job to making $15 an hour with the job. And now that same individual, from what I understand, is making $32 an hour. So this changed his life. And we're very proud about the fact that we're promoting this as a life-changing venue, not only for the individuals that take the training and take advantage of it, but also for the employers, because, you know, they're doing something essentially, I don't want to say to give back, because the trainee or the employee is working for it, but it's ensuring community corporate citizenship from our various vendors. And so Mike will definitely, you have, it's open to the public to see that clip. So if you want to post it, that will be great. It's about a 2-minute clip, and it gives the highlights of it. So without going on any further, I'll come back just to bring everything to a head of what Anita's going to share. So Anita, if you're available, would you please just talk about the various elements of the program?
Sure. Yeah, thank you. So I'll start a little bit with the total of our numbers. So we've trained 3 cohorts so far. The first cohort had 19 people. 11 have been placed so far. And the second cohort had 15 people. 13 have been placed so far. And they were each trained in the HAZWOPR 40, asbestos abatement, National Incident Management Systems awareness training, and then CPR. And then we just finished our third cohort, and we have 14 individuals trained, and they are just now going into the resume writing, developing their interviewing skills, and DESC, who's our partner on the grant, and DESC is Detroit Employment Solutions Corporation. They are working on setting up a little mini job fair for these individuals to get directly hired. So a little bit more about the program. We have set up a community advisory board, and this is a group that includes our local contractors. It includes various city departments. It includes the mayor's office and the city council, as well as DESC. And what they do is they provide input. They provide input to us to know what the workforce needs are. So what type of training is needed. And so for our third cohort, we actually changed the curriculum a little bit based on the input that we got from the community advisory board. So we added the lead supervisor and worker training in addition to the HAZWOPR asbestos and the National Incident Management System. So we see it as a very dynamic partnership working with these groups. And we do an employer questionnaire to ask them things like, you know, what are your employment needs in the near future and further out, as well as in terms of numbers, but then also in terms of types of training. So just a little bit more about what each group is doing. Like I said, we partnered with the Detroit Employment Solutions Corporation on the grant, and they do a whole host of things for us. In addition to helping us assess the workforce needs for Detroit, they also provide recruitment. They do all the pre-screening. They help with the development of soft skills and job readiness training. They do. They work with the training providers to schedule the training, and then, like I said before, they do resume support, and they track the trainees when they're finished with the training. They created our brochure and flyer, and reach out to the media. They help set up that Channel 4 segment that Ray talked about, and then through their business services rep, they reach out to the employers to actually place the trainees into employment situations. So, and that, of course, that's everything that goes along with that, attending job fairs, community events, you name it, they do it.
Anita, this is Mike. A question, and I hate to interrupt you, but it is this a WIB part of the Workforce Investment Board, or is this a community-based, completely different? It's a .org, I noticed, not a .gov.
Are you talking about DESC?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they work with the Workforce Development Board.
Okay, but they're a separate organization that kind of, they must be funded by the WIB maybe, and then provide all these services to you?
They do. Yeah, and I think that maybe Jessica or one of the other employees with DSC is with us. Maybe they could. Jenny, is Jessica there? Oh no, maybe she couldn't join us. Yeah, they are funded. They do all the WIA, or I guess it's changed now. It's WOIA now, isn't it?
Right.
So that's the other. They get the funding through
okay.
there.
Okay, mm-hmm. great. Thank you. It's incredible. Some WIBs are just awesome, and some WIBs are not so good. And it sounds like you have got a fantastic WIB.
Absolutely,
great.
And they'll even provide things like bus tickets and personal protective equipment, things like that, if the employer requires it, so they can do that through their funding as well as through our grant. So then with the city, what we do, we also work on, assessing the workforce development, what's needed in terms of workforce, but then we also collaborate with a number of other nonprofits in who can help us recruit trainees. So they may have a program, a little bit longer job readiness training program, and they may refer their trainees to us, who then get this extra training in environmental type construction work. So a lot is about partnering and collaborating. We reach out to to the individual employers as well as meeting them in their city meetings with the contractors. So we may help them to understand or to meet their HUD Section 3 requirements. And the city also has requirements in terms of, when city funds are expended, they have to employ city residents. So getting involved with the DEEP program also helps them meet those kind of requirements. We reach out to the labor unions in terms of maybe helping place into apprenticeship programs our trainees if they're not immediately placed into a working situation. And then we try to keep all the departments up to date on what's going on with DEEP, and also the Detroit Land Bank, who has contractors that they work with, so we engage with them as well. And then, sometimes we do this individually. Sometimes we do these with DESC together. So we'll meet individually with employers. We'll meet, like I said, at those contractor meetings. We meet with those nonprofits together. So we attend job fairs. We've been to expungement fairs. So it's a real collaboration working with DESC and the various other organizations within the community. And with that said, that's unless somebody has questions, I'm going to turn it back over to Ray.
Another question I have. What could you explain two things? One is the DESC is your organization, and that's kind of connected with the WIB that provides all sorts of services that everyone needs to talk to someone like that, whether it's called the WIB or it's Detroit Employment Solutions, or it might be a job, some sort of a something connected with training or job, but it's indirectly funded through the new WIA. But what is the acronym for DEEP, D-E-E-P?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah, that's what we call it. We call this is the so we have the EPA Workforce Development Job Training Grant, and we have created the Detroit Environmental Employment Program, and we just call it DEEP. That's the acronym.
And the other thing that caught my ear when you kind of briefed over it was the expungement job fair. That's something new. Now, are we talking about kids who are people that are in your program that you're finding that they're doing great work and you're trying to expunge some of their records? Is that what that is?
Well, this was a fair, and they have them all over the place, but this is a fair for returning citizens to help them connect with employers. And so we were there as, another option to help them to get employed. And then it was also associated with a seminar on what they can do to get their records expunged.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's for it's for ex-offenders who may find a dead end in the job placement arena, but this is assistance to them. It may help them out.
Exactly. Well, there were also other employers there who would direct hire them. Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, great.
So we were there just to present another option for them if this was something they were interested in.
Before we turn it to Ray, does anyone have any questions on their structure? It's an interesting structure.
I have a question. My name is Cheryl Copeland. I'm with the Office of Economic and Workforce Development. And I wanted to know, you mentioned that you in the first group there were 19 participants, and then in the second group there were 15 participants, and the last group it was 14. What was your ultimate goal of getting placement or candidates for the program?
To get candidates? So we were looking at a maximum of about 25 because this is in terms of working with the trainers, you know, having enough one-on-one experience. 25 was like the maximum they could do. And really that's kind of a lot, but and that's how it worked out to be those numbers I gave you.
And this is your first year, so your first cohort, which is, those are the toughest ones in terms of recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
Who is doing your training? Are you getting consultants to do the training?
Yes, they're providers that are in the city, and
It's really an interesting structure, and one of the things we're examining as we talk to different grantees is the type of structure that they want to establish. We've got, in your case, you've got a governmental organization that's working really closely with the mayor's office, city council, which is, I think a lot of grantees don't do that. They're lacking that. And you're really close to the WIB, which is really great. And in fact, it sounds like you're doing a lot of the Detroit Employment Solutions is really kind of a centerpiece of getting services to these participants, and they're doing the recruiting and the placement and a lot of that. And then, of course, you've got the coordination of all these different groups, and you're relying very heavily on employers and community people that it works, this whole thing works as a team. And we've seen from different, not necessarily less successful, but other organizations that do it completely different. Some of that do it all in-house. Some work through a community college, and the community college is kind of doing that. So I think at a future session, we'll explore these different approaches, which are, they're just different. But yours seems to be very effective. Yours is one that is very effective. The other thing that seems to be very effective is when you mention that you're getting students that are coming from perhaps another training program, and they're moving from, say, a construction program into your program for an advanced kind of environmental degree. It's exactly what Art does in that we talked about a few sessions ago, but he has that all in-house. So he's got basically a construction program, and then he cherry picks the best of those to give them what I guess you would call an advanced degree in environment so that they've got the construction skills. And then he gives them the environmental, which they're not getting in the construction trade. So you're kind of replicating what Art's doing, but you're not doing it in one organization. You're doing it. It's great.
Right, because, you know, one of the things that we were hearing in the Community Advisory Board was that they the employers wanted people who had some experience. So we were looking at programs either to channel trainees from those programs that where they do like some hands-on sort of apprenticeship type work, or the other way around, where our trainees go into an apprenticeship program to make them a little, you know, more, whatever it takes to make them more employable.
That's really a good strategy, because there's not always environmental employment, and there might not always be, and in your case, they're rehabilitating 600 or 700 houses, and they're tearing down 150 houses a week, and so that there's, right now, there might be plenty of employment, but environmental remediation in asbestos and lead is like construction work, and so you may be working 1 week and then not another week. And if you've got those construction skills, it seems to me that you're very employable at that point. You could do either.
That's what we're hoping for.
Hey, this is Adam Johnson in Montana, and I have a question about the labor market assessment. As you might imagine, and I appreciate the presenters talking about Detroit. I've learned a lot. As you might imagine, the situation in Montana is quite a bit different than in a major urban area. And so I was just wondering, as a potential grant applicant, was it up to the applicants to determine what the geographic extent of the labor market assessment would be? Because in my case, it could include all of Montana and all of Idaho, for example.
And I'll let Detroit answer that also. But Adam, GLOW is going to be sending out the Connect newsletter this month, and actually it's all about labor market assessments. So there'll be some, and we'll put that in the notes, the post-session notes. In fact, if anyone is not getting post-session notes, email me your contact. You'll probably get them tomorrow or the next day. msenyu@aol.com. If you're getting some of these notices, you should be getting the post-session notes, but sometimes we get bounce backs and things like that. But
or if someone is not on our grantee listserv, send an email to me and I will get you on the listserv so that you can start getting these publications and announcements about the grantee meeting and that type of thing. My email is ghanne@eicc.edu.
Labor market assessments are extremely important, and you could do a labor market assessment, as you'll see in the Connect newsletter, or you could do a real one. And it's fine to go to the city hall and get all the boilerplate, but the real labor market assessment is a one-to-one. You're really thinking about placement when you're doing your labor market assessment. What you're trying to do is you want to get a Rolodex of people who are going to be hiring your students. So what you want to do is, it's fine to do all the stuff, the boilerplate, to get the general things, and you can put that in the grant. But what really counts when you're evaluating is, we sat down with this tank company, we sat down with these, actually in Detroit's case, they had a bunch of contractors that said, we'll hire all the people you can produce. We need them because we're tearing down buildings. We need people with asbestos certifications. We need people with 40-hour HAZWOPER, name names, get organizations. So as it says in the newsletter, what you need to do is you need to actually go into your yellow pages, find out who your remediation contractors are, and do a sit-down. Call them up, tell them you're thinking of starting a program. And we always tell people, particularly in your situation when you're going to be applying for, which will be coming up in November for this, start now. We're thinking of developing a job training grant. If we're successful, we're going to be able to provide you with people with all these certifications, whether it's lead. And one of the things you want to ask them is, what do you think about this? Lead, asbestos, confined space. We have to do HAZWOPER. We're thinking of doing pesticide, whatever you're thinking of doing. And then ask them their opinion. And you want them to bond with your program. So what you want to do is get them involved as much as you can and say, would you be interested? And they said, well, we'd be interested in someone, but we want someone with pesticide application, or we don't have any asbestos in this town because everything was built after 1987. Or they may say, we got so much asbestos, we got lead, these are the things we've got. And if you can give us certified graduate, we need incident response, because we're here in Montana, we're concerned about spills. So you will then identify those companies, and then you always ask them, can you recommend anyone else we could talk to in terms of the types of skills and certifications they may need to develop our program? And they say, oh yeah, this other competitor of ours, and this works really well, they're happy, they know all that, they know the field, they are responding to spills, or they're involved in fracking. And you might contact them, and if you could ask them, who do you think I should contact? They may give people within the field, know other people in the field. They'll give you names, perhaps contact information. So you want to make this part of your labor market assessment very personal. Then you always wind up the conversation, if we're successful, would you be interested on our advisory board or perhaps being an instructor? So you're basically pulling them into your program, And it's always with the caveat, if we get the grant. And if we don't, we'll probably try to apply for it again because this is an annual re-up. That's the real labor market assessment that you're going to add on to the global stuff that, you could get from your desk. This is the stuff that, once it provides, it may provide instructors. They may even provide you with leveraging funds. They may say, well, we'll help you. We'll provide you with some instructors. You could use our fit-up suits. You could use our test, our pads, our spill pads. It's amazing what some of the grantees have gotten from consultants and contractors, because the consultant and contractor get someone with $5,000 worth of certifications. So you'd be amazed at how eager they are to help you and support you. And then when you're writing your grant, you go back to them and you say, would you be interested in writing us a letter of recommendation? So you're hitting a lot of stones. You're killing a lot of little bugs with one stomp, because you're not only doing your labor market assessment, you're getting some leverage funds, you're getting prospects for placing your students, you're getting potential instructors, and that's what I would call a real labor market assessment. That makes sense?
That's exactly what we found too, and we did do the initial thing with the grant, and that was, you know, getting the statistics from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics and Department of Technology Management, Budget, and those sorts of things. But then, you know, the one-on-one talking with employers, you know, creating this community advisory board, that's really where we got so much of our information. And it's a dynamic thing too. It's not just a one time, it's a continual, you know, continuously going and getting more information and, you know, where are you at now and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. And you always want to document everything, because when you're writing your grant, you want to put all that good stuff in your grant, because the reviewers, what they're doing now is they're looking for those specifics. It's just like saying, if you're a writer and you say, I saw the beautiful flower sitting there in the yard. Well, what is that? But if you say, I saw the geranium that had yellow leaves and it had this smell, like it was very, very, very specific, it adds a lot of credibility to your program.
Perfect.
Any other questions? Ray, anything else you want to add to this?
Yeah, just a few things. First, I want to share with Adam that the main thing as it relates to our market assessment, labor market assessment, it was driven by the fact that the city of Detroit was going to be demolishing roughly 50,000 structures. And so it was basically a needs assessment. We knew that the contractors would need this additional labor. And so, which is why we sought the grant in general. A couple of quick things just to wrap up. Appreciate Anita and all of her information that was shared. The major thing that we learned from where we are now in relation to our public relations campaign, you need two types of recruitment. One, you need a recruitment for the students themselves. DESC is doing a wonderful job with that, because that's what they do. They vet, they go through the various processes of making sure we have the most reliable candidates. And then the other thing that we did on our behalf, the city itself, was we reached out to our neighborhood city halls, district managers offices, recreation centers, things of that nature, just to broaden our net for students. Now, it's much different from recruiting for students than it is for employers, because one, you're trying to get people into the program, and then on the other end, you're trying to make sure that when they come out of the program that they hire. And so the recruitment, our thought is that initially, that because of the amount of work, that the program would sell itself. So don't make the mistake thinking that, you know, there's a lot of activity that you're doing strictly for the grant, or you're training strictly for a end result, and that it will sell itself. You have to be very aggressive in working in the labor market and trying to get employers to hire, which is why we were able to connect with the news outlets, various media outlets, even social media. DESC has something on their Facebook page. The Detroit ourselves, we went through our gov delivery system. We're also looking to do more recruitment on our personal television network station. We also have a department called the Communication and Creative Services Department, so they're into the multimedia type of venues. And then also with the department responsible for the abatement and demolition, and on our side, that's called the Detroit Land Bank Authority. And the Detroit Land Bank Authority is responsible. They're the entity that holds the homes prior to being demolished. So they have a net of about 50,000 structures, commercial and residential, that will either be demolished or renovated. And so it's important that we are very selective when we reach out to them, because initially we started talking with the demolition contractors. What we really needed to do was talk to the subcontractors, which were the asbestos and lead abatement type companies, because the demolition contractors, their main focus is knocking the building down, moving to the next, whereas the asbestos abatement, that's what they do. And so now we're focused primarily on them. So we be very selective in who you're going after in terms of your employment audience. Also, the thing that you need to do as you start to deal with the selective audience of employers, you need to have some selling points, you know, in order to make sure that the people that you're training will benefit the company. You know, for instance, you want to make sure that they understand that this is a partnership, that, you know, you being a good corporate citizen, you get a certain amount of attention from media, the mayor's office, city council, you know, those things saying that, hey, we appreciate you hiring our residents. Also, one of the things that Anita spoke about was the community ventures. That's another selling point. I mean, you basically get enough money for a employee to train them through a probationary period, and if you decide that they don't work out, it doesn't really cost you anything because a community venture basically sponsored the finances. The other thing is you're going to get the best candidates that are available and trained because they've been through a very rigorous vetting process by DESC, and so we're very confident in that. Also, you need to make sure that you're able to talk about the longevity of work. See, we've had the advantage to do that simply because we were the entity that was putting the work out there. So the demolitions was based on the city of Detroit having this inventory, federal funds, however, or whomever, to actually do the demolition. And so one of the things they're going to want to know is their future employment. We hit a brief bump in the road where we knew that with the focus that we have to also, and again, Anita brought this out, we have to make sure that the candidates are multitasked. So now we're doing board ups for abandoned homes, we're doing maintenance of some of those properties, and they're doing renovation for the homes that are going to be auctioned. So everything is not demolished. So they need to be able to go back and forth between demolition type of activities and abatement, which is your general construction. And the last thing you want to bring out is that it will be community representation. It's always good to have someone that look like the citizens in the community working on your team. I mean, they know the neighborhoods. It's a familiar face. And, you know, it only helps in terms of supporting the efforts when you're in the community doing that type of work. And so those are the various things that we have learned as of late.
Great. Hey, thanks a lot.
That was great, Ray. That's exactly right, and that's why you're so successful. Any other questions? I think someone put their phone on hold, which is giving us a signal it's time to say goodbye for this week. So we'll convene again on the 13th. We'll try to keep it around 30 minutes, and you all have a good couple of weeks. And if you have any questions, just send them in, and we'll try to respond.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks
Anita.
Thank you.
It was great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.